come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. You can join us right now on Facebook Live, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 877-711-5611, you'll have a chance to win some a family pack of four tickets to the Shedd Aquarium. And we've got this very convoluted whole system on how you can win. They aren't Robbie rules. Robbie writes easy game rules, but Kevin back in the back room was thinking too much. So he's got these long drawn out rules and regulations on how you're going to win. So call Trixie
long
and find
out. There's two more rules than Robbie rules.
There's a couple more steps to them, but it's okay. It's okay. So,
well, we only have four, and we wanted to make sure that it was fair for everybody.
Correct.
And, I mean, it's March Madness, so you got to have some sort of bracket.
Okay.
I see where he tried to get it.
Yeah.
For me, it would have been the first four people that showed up here.
Right.
Like, oh, you're here for the tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, here.
Yeah. So... we're going to have each show is going to have its own pre-qualifier. So if you call 877-711-5611 and you talk to Trixie, say, hey, I want to get in the running for those tickets, we'll have a drawing for those tickets at the end of the show. And then you will be the you will represent Mighty House in the big ticket drawing next week for all the different shows. So if you don't qualify with us, that's fine. You can call Mike Novak. You can call Bill Turk and get on his show, or Richie Z, any of those shows this weekend. So each show is going to have their own qualifier. You got it, Robbie?
Got it.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So that's how it's going to work. Again, 877-711-5611 to pre-qualify yourself to win, to represent Mighty House in the big game. That's coming
up
next week.
I like how you put that, to represent Mighty House in
yes.
the big game.
Yes. There you go. That's how it's going to work. Okay, we've got let's go to the phones here.
Okay.
I got Mark on the phone. Hey, Mark, are you there?
Hey, good morning. How are you, Ron?
Whoa, hang on. Dialing it down. Talk some more, Mark. Keep
morning,
going.
Hey,
Mark,
morning,
are you Wiley
how
or Willie?
The Wiley Coyote.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
It's like good the morning. Wiley Coyote, right, Mark?
That's what they say.
You know what?
So he posted on the Facebook feed
that
they're looking for 2018 energy conservation code, whatever. They're, you know, it's time for the review stuff.
Right.
I just butchered that whole thing. I just read the damn thing. I can't even remember it. The Illinois Energy Conservation Code amendment, but it's for submittal of amendments.
Correct.
So they're looking for us to tell them to scrap the whole idea. It's not going to work.
Yeah. So, and Mark's with the Passive House Alliance for Chicago. And I was talking to him yesterday about this. And I thought, well, let's call in, explain what one Passive House, the Passive House Alliance is, and why you're trying to rewrite these energy codes.
Well, you know, the code comes out every 3 years. So whatever they come out with, we have to work within for 3 years. And anything that falls, you know, below code, that's technically illegal, right? And should be enforced.
Correct.
So what we do in Passive House is we produce super efficient homes that try to use as little energy as possible, keep the cost down, and bring the comfort way up.
Right.
And
you know, and the problem is, you still got to have damn Comcast.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Mark?
I did. What was that, Rich?
Go ahead, Rich.
I said the worst part is, no matter how much energy you don't use, you still got to have Comcast, and that's what we need to get rid of.
You're right. And the more insulated we make these buildings, the harder it is to get that signal.
Uh-huh. See? There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of a past...
the whole exterior of the house in stainless steel. Then it would really be efficient. Yeah. You could hear nothing.
Hey, Mark, can you hear Rich okay? Or is he coming in faint?
I can.
Okay.
It'd be better if we were standing next to one another. It looks like he's got a good cup of coffee there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
And I have to have my coffee in the morning, which actually I use tea, but
right.
But I still need it.
Okay.
So how much to do a passive house? Because I'm looking to build a house down here, and I have a beautiful south-facing lot, and I just think I could do a lot more solar and so on. But what do you think it actually costs? Is it 10% more, 20% more than normal construction, or let's say code-compliant construction to get to passive house?
So that's a great question, Rich. The upfront cost the last few years on a residential building is between 4 and 7%. And that's your upfront cost. And then when you turn around and extrapolate it based on your true monthly cost of the building, that's, you know, what it costs to operate the building, the gas and electric, you're looking at that payback being reduced significantly. And I should say, if you're building a passive house, you don't want to put gas in it. You want to go for an all electric. It's good to leave those combustibles out, because for about $40 a month, you can operate your house.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
That's...
Well, it works for me. We don't have gas down here. We bury LP tanks if you want to have a backup generator or whatever. We just got to bury you a tank.
Huh.
Which is perfect. And there's a lot of natural gas options coming along. And the other folks use those induction stovetops.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like a fire, go in the backyard and make one. Just don't do it on your stovetop.
No, I got one outside now. I don't have to go far.
Yeah. They just go stand in the along the road over there right now in Florida.
Yeah, I-75 or, yeah. You know, 41. You got plenty of smoke and fire right now.
I saw those pictures. It's horrific.
Yeah.
The marshmallow sales must be through the roof.
They are.
So they
are normally, because, you know, where I live, most of the people don't have all their teeth, so it's just they can do marshmallows.
Oh.
They just gum them.
Maybe you should open a dentist office when you build your new house. That'll pay for the construction cost.
There you go.
Excellent. Okay, so Passive House Alliance in Chicago, is that a company? Is that a group of companies? What is that?
So it's a nonprofit, and we got started the end of 2010. We meet the third Wednesday of every month, and it's a collective of architects, builders, developers, energy raters, material suppliers, and people that want comfortable, energy-efficient homes.
Okay.
We do go under the name Passive House Alliance, because the theory of Passive House is basically a few steps up from LEED.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fastest way to get to a net zero house, but we're a pretty active group, so don't let the passive fool you, Ron.
Good. So the whole...
But actually, you just touched on something. Sorry, Ron. Passive House is like a step above LEED, because... LEED, a lot of people have heard of LEED for years. So the leaders in energy, was it energy and efficiency design or something like that? But
correct.
they were mostly dealing with energy or electrical consumption or energy consumption, but not so much indoor air quality and all that. And that's where you guys are really above them, is that you take a holistic approach, the whole systems.
It's true. LEED did become a household name, and that's when, you know, green kind of infused. And it's funny, when you think about LEED today, you don't really think about energy.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
it comes to energy use, and like you called it, and it's coming along in LEED, the indoor air quality, your building has to be healthy, quiet, and comfortable, because we're spending lots of hours in our buildings as opposed to years ago, and we're not opening windows, etc. So the passive house really gets into the minutiae of those numbers and proves our theories of return on investment. And you know, when you get those kind of cooks in the kitchen, you can create some pretty good recipes for great construction.
Yep. So okay, so then what's this meeting we got coming up that you're trying to? How about if we hang on to that? We got a break coming up here, and we'll finish and wrap you up on the other side of the break. How's that sound?
Sounds good. See you on the other side.
Ah, there you go. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Was going smoothly, two more days and we'd be done. We came in right on budget, man, this job was so much fun. But I knew the fun was over when the client said, hey son, my wife and I've been talking, there's some changes we need done. That sink's just what we asked for, but my wife thinks we need two. So cut another hole in the counter, boy, should be an easy thing to do. I know we asked for stainless, but we prefer that it be white. The oven's on the left now, could you put it on the right? Why can't you
make up your mind?
We did everything you said you've got to
make up your mind.
I can't read what's in your head. Well, I'm running out of patience. I'm running out of time. And you're running out of money, cause you can't make up your mind.
Blue pastels, oyster shells, pink and Kelly green.
These just aren't the colors I saw in the magazine.
What's wrong? It took too long. Seems like that to me. Can't you do it in a week? Like Ty does on TV.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Go to MightyHouse.net. Go ahead, click on the contacts page. Just need your first, last name, your email address. Click on submit. You're only going to get one email a week from us letting you know what's coming up on the show. Uh-huh. Some links to stuff. And that's about it.
That's about it right there. So you can also you can give us a call, 877-711-5611. And we'll qualify you to win a pair of tickets or a family pack of tickets to the Shedd Aquarium. Today only, so you've got to call in.
Or half a family if there's eight people in your family.
877-711-5611, and you will represent Mighty House in the big game coming up later this week.
Big game.
That's right. That's how that's going
to
work.
So a couple of years ago, Don and I went to the neighborhood swimming pool, Park District, and it was family swim.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't let us in.
Because?
We don't have children.
Oh.
I was not happy.
No?
Why would that matter if you're a resident? It didn't say kids day.
It was family swim. And.
But it's adult. You would go in the adult swim part, right?
Well, we figured, you know, family. He's my family. I don't have children. He's my family.
Oh, and you should have brought the dog.
And they imply that we might be perverts who wanted to go to family swim.
Oh.
Well, I called everybody I could, and nobody, like, I called the park district to complain. I called the alderman's office to complain.
And nobody cared?
Nobody cared that they implied
I was a
pervert.
Well, I know it got weird. Like, you know, most houses said family room, which we don't write that on plans anymore. There is no such thing as a family room because not everybody has a family. So now it's just a, you know, front room, great room, whatever. You know what I mean? But we don't use the phrase family room anymore.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, let's go back.
Anyway, Mark.
Mark's we got Mark from Passive House Alliance, the Chicago.
Why don't you put it on the right? I'm sorry, Mark.
So there you go. So in a passive house, do you have a family room in a passive house, Mark, or not?
I think I'm very comfortable using the word family room.
Okay.
I think, you know, generally today's building is open concept. So they tend to have this quote-unquote family room adjoined with the kitchen. It's kind of a huge place for community congregation, right?
Right, right. Right, that's exactly what it is. It's the community room then. Well, maybe we should start rephrasing it, calling
it
the community room.
Well, that's why we have the great room, because of the open floor plan. It's a great room.
Right, exactly. So Mark is with the Passive House Alliance here in Chicago. And so they're rewriting rules right now. How can someone get involved and try to, if they wanted to help out, how can they get involved?
You know, we haven't had our post put up onto our site yet. We're a nonprofit, so we're all doing our day jobs, and it will be up in a few days.
Okay.
The real thing is the final day for comments is this coming Friday. So I posted it on your wall.
Okay.
It's too long to talk about. A long website, www.illinois.gov, and then there's a whole part after it.
Uh-huh.
And they're taking the comments there for the IECC.
Okay. That's cool. So, and if somebody wanted to get involved, do you have to be a builder to get involved with this?
You don't. You're allowed. It's public comment time. So when we think about it, our buildings are tested at 5 air exchanges per hour. Is that how it's done in Florida too, Rich?
We actually went to 7, which is useless.
Yeah. So they did a study here in Illinois, and they found that the buildings are being done at around 2.5 ACH.
Really?
And builders didn't even realize they were building it that tight. And study was done of over a few thousand homes. And so it's very easy to make a building at 3 ACH. Our buildings.
But anything below 3, we have to do mechanical ventilation, and that in lies some of the problem, because for us, like everywhere, you have to deal with the cold, I have to deal with humidity. So it gets relatively expensive below 3 to add in that makeup air and dehumidification and so on. So I actually test for 3.5. That's my target, even though code is 7. Like I said, 7's useless. That you could damn near make that with the window open.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's the equivalent of leaving the front door open. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yep. So, the last addition that we did, because we test before and after, the house came in. It was an existing house, came in at 11 air changes per hour. Before we did the addition. So now we're going to see how much we tighten this thing up when we get done. But
and that's the one that I put all, we got all the mileage out of on the newsletter, right?
Yeah.
And Mark, I don't know if you saw this, but they turned the blower door on and the cabinet doors opened up because of the vent for the hood vent was never capped off. So the cabinet doors actually opened up when they took the blower on.
You couldn't close the cabinet doors.
Was that the one you did over with Joe Conopacci?
Yes.
That's some funny stuff there.
I got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
We tend to think that you want your house so tight that when you close the door, the toilet flushes.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Robbie just gave me a look.
All the toilet talk.
That's excellent. Right. Okay.
The air has to go somewhere, right? And that's pretty much the biggest opening you've got. So that's where it's going to go.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So in a passive house, is there a square footage kind of goal you want to be? Can any size house be a passive house? Or are you shooting for like 1,500 square feet?
The larger the house, ironically, the easier it is to achieve it because you're dealing with volume. So it's the cubic feet of the house, you know, the length times width times height.
Right.
So people that are doing tiny houses, they would have a hard time doing it. But if you have a multi-family or a multi-unit or a high-rise, it's actually very, very, very easy to build a passive house.
Huh. That kind of goes against what I would think.
The easier it is, because the energy is, controlled by each unit added up together. So that makes it real easy to do.
Huh. That doesn't even make sense to me. You would think the smaller the house, the easier it would be to make it tight and the less energy you would use.
And you're right. That's where all of us thought for years. And then when you start tweaking the dials and looking at it, there's that aha epiphany moment, and you're like, holy cow, the larger the building, the simpler it is. And out of nowhere, New York started doing, you know, high rises, you know, 50, 60, 80 story buildings in the passive house. And imagine the energy cost savings of a high rise. Mm-hmm. And these companies that hold these structures, hedge fund companies, that energy bills, their savings are hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Okay. So what's the website if somebody wanted to get involved with Passive House? How can they do that?
The website is passivehousechicago.org.
Okay.
We're just getting started with YouTube.
Okay.
But our meetup group predominantly is how we get the word out. Next month, the lady that founded Passive House, she's the queen of energy efficient buildings.
Uh-huh.
She founded it in 2003 down in Champaign, Urbana, and she's going to come speak. We had, what did I tell you last night, Ron? 75 people came.
Yes.
This week for solar. And so if you get the queen of Passive House coming to speak in Chicago, if you're involved in construction or you're looking for a mentor with a lady that's really kind of changed the landscape of the Department of Energy,
mm-hmm.
this is the gal to listen to. She is mesmerizing. Lot to learn.
Excellent. And that's passive. Do you spell house strange or you spell it normal?
The American way is spelling it normal, Passive House Chicago.
Okay.
The German one spells it, you know,
right.
H-A-U-S.
Right. House. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure you were spelling it the right way.
Well, I'm going to put it up on our Facebook page. I'm just doing it right now. Passive House Alliance Chicago. Yeah, we've got the right one. Upcoming events.
That's excellent.
All right.
And
yeah, I'll get this up on our page right now.
So anybody can get involved. You don't have to be a builder, correct?
You don't. We start out with people that have interest in comfortable homes, in safe homes, in energy efficient homes. And they always... Some things go over their head, right? Because we mm-hmm. geek out on certain things. But you get mesmerized, and you want to be a part of it. Because who wants to be in a drafty, uncomfortable, expensive building?
Right.
Pretty much no one. Just go buy a tent, right?
Exactly.
That's what you should have.
Right. Right.
So there's a lot of consumers. There's a lot of policy people from the city. There's building inspectors. It's pretty crazy to have building inspectors coming to the meeting, and we welcome them because those are the people making the difference.
Oh, yeah, that's huge to have them involved. Okay, it's Mark from the Passive House Alliance Chicago. I appreciate your time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a great day, guys. I'll keep watching.
All right, talk to you later. All right, we'll be back right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction.
I build
things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts or previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 877-711-5611, you will have a chance to win a family pack of tickets to the Shedd Aquarium.
Yes.
And the drawing will be at the end of the show to represent Mighty House in the big drawing coming up Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Whenever Kevin decides to do it on Facebook Live, yes. So so you get your name in the hat. It's 877-711-5611. And if you give us a call and you ask the question on the air, we'll enter your name twice. If you just call up and tell Trixie to put your name in the hat, you'll enter it once. That's our little twist that we're putting on it there. So
nice.
But you can qualify. Also, if you don't make it on our show, you can call in any of the other shows this weekend. Mike Novak, Richie Z, Playtime, any of those other shows, if you want to call them, you'll be able to get on there. How about French and Friends coming up Sunday night? You could probably do that on French and Friends, too, I would assume, right?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then today we've also got the new sports show, 312 Sports, is starting up.
Okay.
So you can check that out on Facebook Live as well. We've got a whole bunch of great stuff happening here soon, especially we're doing a replay of you guys from 4 to 6. It's going to be great. I'll be here to answer the calls for that, too. So it'll be the Mighty House replay. So there's a whole bunch. Essentially, if you just listen to this weekend and then call the station every 15 minutes, you've got a pretty good chance.
Nice.
Yeah. And again, that's for the family pack of tickets to the Shedd Aquarium. To be you can go whenever you want at your leisure. But spring break's coming up. Mm-hmm. Need to take the kids out and go get them, take them somewhere, do something. Shedd Aquarium's a great way to go. And then they're also, what do they got going there, Robbie?
They have a new exhibit coming up in May, Underwater Beauty.
Uh-huh.
Celebrate the diverse and vibrant beauty of marine life through the opening of its latest special exhibit. Thousands of animals representing 100 species promises to be the aquarium's most diverse special exhibit in its 88-year history.
Ooh.
Wow. There it's funny go. Because...
Didn't you say something about a kelp farm or... They were like a kelp forest?
Visit the new kelp forest in Shedd's Oceans Gallery, a diverse and light-filled habitat where guests can see leopard sharks, jack mackerels, and garibaldis.
Holy mackerel!
Oh. Okay.
Come on, that was good.
It was.
That was good, Robbie. Come on.
It was awesome.
It's the first time she spoke in nearly an hour and a half, and you already got her quieted down.
Okay, well, I do have things to speak
to. Okay, speak
to.
Okay, go for it.
Rich, did you have a chance to look at the email that I sent you about mold?
Yeah. And the one from your friend?
Uh-huh.
Potential client.
Yeah. I did. You know what? Yesterday was such a screwy day. I actually got your email, and I read it. Did I not respond to you?
Well, I'm not surprised to say the answer is no, you didn't respond to me, but no, you didn't respond.
God, I thought I did. I'm sorry.
What were you thinking?
No, actually, and this is a potential client, and so we don't use names and all that, but I'll be honest, when I read the inspection report, it sounds like just a filthy house.
Yeah. That was...
It was a very polite way of saying these people are living in squalor because they don't clean up their own house, but now we need to get a company to do it for them. But anyway, so I don't know...
Can
it's
we go
mess.
Back a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so let me tell you what had happened.
Beep, beep.
Okay, this family was getting sick all the time.
Not surprised.
So then the report, though, said that the mold levels and stuff that were on the first floor, second floor, were within normal parameters. They seemed to be okay. It's only when he was testing in the basement that there were issues there.
Right.
And because they've had water leaks in the past, they've got a lot of boxes and things stored in the basement that was causing a lot of the mold blooms and what was going on. Back
right.
to you, Robbie.
So basically, the house is 130 years old. The clients have lived there for 20 years. When they bought the house, they had an inspection, and it did not include the inspection performed, did not find mold.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were several... Go ahead.
Let me just interject. Looking for mold, and Jeff, you know, always gets mad at me for doing this, but mold is always present.
Yes.
You can't get away from it. If you open your windows, you're going to have mold in your house.
Now, right.
It's not in bloom because you don't have moisture and, the humidity and the temperature aren't correct. So looking for mold and looking for reasons for blooms are two different things and should not be confused.
And I apologize.
Proceed.
They had a home inspection performed that did not include mold. So mm-hmm. they did not. Okay. So since then, there was a toilet overflow, which caused a section of the first floor kitchen ceiling to collapse. There was a flood from this again in 2017. There was badly functioning drainage from the furnace air conditioner that caused water on the sunken section of the basement floor.
So here's the other thing, though, and I'm going to interject now. My
Please
turn.
Please do, because
the foundation, it's a 100-year-old house. It's a brick foundation, probably, or block.
Or stone.
Or stone. And you're never going to stop water from coming through that. It's not possible. The only way to do it is bust out the basement floor, you put in drain tile, and then you put in the drain cove that comes up against the wall, and then you line the walls with the wall liner so that all the water and stuff that comes through the walls will go down into the drain tile. That's the only way you're going to stop that water. I mean, and that's a major investment.
And I was going to say, and I guarantee it's not in their budget.
Yeah.
Okay. So the
numbers... You're talking good $20,000.
Oh, yeah, every bit of it.
The members of the family have either Lyme disease, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, potential chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or variations of tick-borne bacteria. So they
okay,
went
to...
Okay,
so let me stop you there for a second, because I read that and I was a little confused. I thought Lyme disease only came from ticks, and then you actually read at that end of that sentence, tick-borne. So why are we looking for mold? I'd be looking in the house for ticks.
Do they have animals? It doesn't say anything about animals.
It does not.
No, it doesn't. It's okay.
But do you understand what I'm saying, Robbie? I'm
right.
not making a joke of this. I'm like, I was confused when I read that.
Right.
Like, why are we looking at mold? It sounds like they got ticks.
Right. Lyme disease, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which I am assuming would be like the lung stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So the physicians, where they went, referred them to this company to check out the home environment. And they investigated using visual and infrared imaging system, moisture meter, laser particle counter, and an electromagnetic field meter. Now, is this something? Okay, this is what I need to know. And if you have a question, 877-711-5611. Let's continue.
Yep.
So if this is a potential client and you're thinking about going in there and cleaning, I got one word for you. Respirator.
See? What did I tell you yesterday?
Right.
I read this and I was like, what am I going to type a book back? I don't type that fast. It'll take me 6 months. I just gave her a call. And I said, okay, what's going on? And we talked through it. That was the very first thing I told her is if you're going in there, put on a respirator, go out, get your Tyvek suit and gloves, your hat, put it all on and go in there. And then you can work in that space. When you come out, you disrobe right there. You take that stuff and throw it in the dumpster. Then you get in your car. Don't...
But we also said that you and I have probably been in homes with mold, and we didn't go unprepared with all this.
Correct.
So what's the difference?
This one, they actually hired somebody who came in and said it's bad, and I really don't want Lyme disease.
Yeah, well, see, and...
But again, you can't get Lyme disease from mold, like you said.
Right. So whatever...
No, I don't know why that's in the report. It doesn't make sense to me, but...
Yeah. So,
okay.
But my concern, though, is... It's a known factor.
Okay.
So why would you expose yourself to a known factor?
Okay.
If we were just walking in the house for the first time and went down there, you might look at it and go, oh, okay, and then turn around and walk back out, or you're going to smell something and know something's not right, and you're going to walk back out. If it's as bad as what they say. I would guarantee that we've been in basements that have been that bad, but we're not exposed to it for long periods of time like the family that lives there.
And I like the recommendations from the company that wrote the report about cleaning up, and it actually calls out that somebody needs to go through all the boxes of junk. And some of the stuff is probably worthy of keeping, but then the rest should be discarded.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuff like knickknacks.
Patty wax.
Was best off if they cleaned it themselves, because it would save a lot more money than paying somebody to go there and clean all of them individually. So that's what makes me wonder if these people are not just, you know, I love to say it, inherently lazy and just living in squalor. And now it's somebody else's problem to clean up for them.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying
it.
When you read that report, it comes across that way. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, now what's going to happen is I'm going to let the client listen to this.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Nice.
Okay. So what they're saying now is the second floor, they found particle counts were 300 to 400,000 per cubic foot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good or bad?
That was all. The first and second floor were all normal. So the thing is.
Ish.
Yeah. So you close the windows because it's cold out. You turn on the furnace that's down in the basement, and now it's going to suck in all of those particles that are in the basement and distribute it throughout the house. So that's why you really need to clean up the basement. And my suggestion was just get it all out. Get it all to the garage. and then you can go through it there. If you need to keep it, great, but get rid of it. Toss it in a dumpster.
So in the basement, there was a large amount of personal property. Property mm-hmm. closer to the front of the home was packed neatly in plastic containers with lids.
Okay.
Okay.
And the lids were covered with stuff.
Doesn't say that.
Yeah. Okay.
There was visually what appeared to be water stains and potential and some evidence of microbial growth on the ceiling in the basement and the joists. Ugh. Large number of paint cans. Everybody has paint cans.
Right.
There's a furnace drain that's causing water to pool on the basement floor. Particle count densities in the basement were 800,000 particles per cubic foot.
Way over what they should be.
Moisture meter levels on the walls and the floor were at high levels.
Yes. So that tells you there's with high moisture content, you're going to end up with mold growth and a lot of issues behind the walls if they're drywalled. So that's where you have to clean all that out. Just get it all out and start cleaning
and then
fresh.
Dry it out
yes.
as best you can. I agree with Ron. If it's 120 years old, it's got a limestone foundation, more than likely, whatever. You got to get that cleaned up. Blow some fans, dehumidify, put some sealer on it if you can't afford, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Get it pointed, whatever. But it's not a basement you store stuff in.
Nope.
It's a basement that holds your house up. That's all that's good for.
You got a foundation.
Okay, we need to continue because I need to tell listeners what the recommendation is from this company.
Okay, and we're going to come back with Clutter Clarity next.
And then we'll get back to this.
You're listening.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Okay, Robbie. He just, Sonar just nailed it for you. We were talking about the basement.
Right,
He said just put Flex Seal over the entire basement. Your problem's solved.
Is it?
It would work.
Then is it your basement just a giant bucket at that point?
Yes.
It's a swimming pool, yeah.
So what is Flex Seal?
Flex Seal, that's the stuff that the guy sprays in the boat.
The
and he cuts a hole
black
and he goes in a boat.
Okay.
That's Flex Seal.
So you're being funny.
No. I mean, yes, he's being funny, but it would also work.
Theoretically, it would work.
Yes.
It'd be fairly expensive, especially if you're buying the cans.
But they have it.
As seen on TV, right. Island Ace.
Right. But at the, they do actually have it by the gallon now. You can buy gallon jugs of this stuff.
So let me ask you, do we continue?
But can you put it in a sprayer?
Yes. No, you can't.
Do we continue with this now and get to Clutter Clarity?
Well, it's
later?
Your Clutter Clarity. It works all the same.
I would say let's put a little bow on this and go to Clutter Clarity.
All right, because I need to go over what they said that has to be done to clean this house out.
Sure.
You have to tell me.
Make it fast, and then that way we can get to Clutter Clarity.
No, we're holding on to this. You said we're putting a bow on this.
Oh, I was going to say wrap it up.
Oh.
Put a bow on it.
I thought this was.
I can't
it's
wrap
too much.
It up.
Okay. So you're going to have to wait till next
hour. I
thought
it was Clutter Clarity.
That's what I think, too. But Ron says no.
No, that's fine. If that's what you want. You want to do that, wrap up that for Clutter Clarity?
Yeah, I think
we
can
need
to.
Then
we
can do that. But I got to do this first.
Okay.
I got
to. What needs to get done?
You have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save it from this prison. Lord, help me get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery.
Like I swallowed a bug.
I've been lost in my old place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Okay, so continuing with this potential client who has a lot of mold in the basement, they said what you need to do is get a storage area, a pod, or a warehouse, move everything out of the basement, keep what you want, and the rest throw away. But again, go in with the respirator. Now,
I would be, they didn't say that. I would put the Tyvek suit on, gloves, boots, and the hat, mm-hmm. the beanie, the whole thing.
And again, people are still living in there, and they're going in the basement. They're still doing their laundry. They're doing everything.
Okay.
Just like, you know.
Which is why they have Lyme disease and chronic respiratory whatever.
Yes, because they live there.
Now, they said you have to prep the home for small particle cleaning. What is small particle cleaning? Is that a standard?
I think what I mean is you want to start taping off things like the air vents and stuff so that as you start disturbing things, you're not just making this stuff float through the house or get sucked into the vents, albeit it's too late because I believe it does say that they should have their ducts cleaned.
Okay. So it said, this is what they recommend.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just, so for example, wall hangings. Remove the hangings from the walls. And this is the entire house, all the floors, everything. Wipe the frame with a solution of one part grain alcohol to seven parts water with a terry cloth rag, and then a wipe down with a clean Swiffer when dry, two times with two separate dry Swiffer cloths again.
Wow.
I know.
Sounds like the lead dust remediation.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Use cloths such as terry cloth in small sections. Do not re-dip the cloths in solution, but discard when dry in plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
If there is glass over the artwork, perform the same wipe down on the glass. If there is no glass, we recommend a light dusting with compressed air from a can. We recommend that the framed hangings be wrapped in plastic and sealed and placed in another area
Hold on one second.
The garage.
Time out.
If there is no glass on a painting and you're doing fine particle cleaning, I think the last thing you want to do is take compressed air from a can and blow it through the house or blow it onto the stuff you just cleaned. I think you would just take carefully a damp rag and wipe the front or a Swiffer, a dry Swiffer.
Or
but
take
I would
it outside.
Not use compressed air anywhere.
Yeah, take it outside.
That should be struck from the report.
Yes, I would agree.
For lamps and lampshades, the bases of most are non-porous. Wipe the bases of the lamps with the same solution and method as above.
Mm-hmm.
Do the alcohol. Okay, if the lampshades are pleated, dispose of them by placing in a heavy gauge plastic bag, which should be tied prior to removal for disposal. So basically, they're just saying throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lampshades.
Well,
because they can't be cleaned.
Well, no, so then...
Well, you can vacuum it with a HEPA vac.
Yeah, I would think you could do that. The other thing is, at some point, you know, once it's all wiped down, if you want to make sure you killed everything, I think that's when you call Mark from Action Ozone and have him come in and set up his ozone machines and then just blast the whole house. But you would want to do the whole major cleaning thing first and get everything out that you know, you don't want, and then have them come in and blast it before you move back in.
We had an episode this week on a house that was built where they found a small amount of mold, and it was a result of some water leakage after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
The ice in the fridge melted. Okay, so a toe kick got wet, got some mold. So we cleaned it up, replaced the toe kick. It's not Wonder Warranty, but figure what the hell, right?
Right, right.
All of a sudden, they bring in a guy from a company just to check the house out. And the guy comes in and tells the homeowner, the house is loaded with mold. You must evacuate immediately. Throws the owner into a panic, right? This is not pretty. So now you got to try and talk everybody down. The same company is now offering to clean the house for $30,000.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I said, so I says to my boss, I go, I'm going to give you one word to remember. I go, ozone.
Yeah.
You could get two ozone generators in there for 2 days, for probably $2,000, $3,000, boom, done.
Well, that was my
don't have to move a damn thing.
That was my question. So let me just say this: what they recommend to do with books, and then I'll talk about the ozone.
Okay.
Go through the books, and if basically throw them away. If not, you have to go through that step again with the alcohol.
Anyway.
If the books have paper covers, we recommend that they be disposed of or wiped down with the solution with the alcohol, then two wipes. If the books don't have paper covers, perform the two-step wipe method. Then we recommend HEPA vacuuming the edges of the book or air washing them while the pages are compressed together. This should not be done inside the home. If they're in a bookcase, we recommend that after the books have been cleaned, they put in a sealed container, moved out of the house. During treatments, we recommend that the shelves of the bookshelves be wiped down and Swiffered as above. I mean, this is your entire house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they're telling you to do is clean.
Yeah, major deep cleaning.
Major deep cleaning, removing everything from the house. But what about Action Ozone?
I think that's a great option. And I would also, you know, the Build Smart, the Build Clean units, the HEPA systems that we've got that we bring in, you could put a couple of those in the house too, so that that's constantly circulating, cleaning the air as you're moving back and forth through the house. That would help.
Right, because you're disturbing dust, that 300,000 parts per cubic foot. You want to get that down to 100,000.
Right.
And that those clean machines will do that.
Do they have to get everything out of the house before you use Action Ozone?
No.
So why doesn't this person just say?
Because they don't know about Action Ozone. They don't know about using ozone machines to do that. The other side of it is you still have all these dust particles, all these mold particles on everything, even after Mark gets done. So by wiping it all down and then running that, you're making sure you're getting the major stuff and then you're getting all the fine little areas that you missed and in the walls.
Because it sounds like the house is a mess.
Yeah. Call Mark and have him do it. Action Ozone. How's that? All right, we're going to take another quick break. We're coming back next with Beth Franken.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.